Thank you. Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by the investigative reporter for WPRI-TV, Tim White. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Ian.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Thanks for joining us, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest the sheriff of Bristol County, Massachusetts, Thomas Hodgson. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Sheriff, you're known for your controversial approach to managing the inmates under your care. You've reduced meal portions, removed televisions from cells, and sent out inmate work crews attached through ankle chains. You say these tactics are meant to discourage inmates from committing crime, but is there any real evidence beyond anecdotes to show that your approach is effective?
Well, there's no question that it's effective, and it's not to discourage them from committing crimes. If any of us were to go to jail and we were told we could watch TV, play cards, lift weights, hang out, or go to a program to get ourselves off of drugs, deal with anger management, get our GED. Most of us come from pretty unstructured backgrounds. We're going to say, I'd rather sit around, watch TV, play cards. Why do I want to do the work? We have one of the highest GED graduation rates now. We have inmates who don't want to come to our facility and will, when they can plead down on the state charge, are telling their attorneys, I'd rather go upstate and do more time than I would come to Bristol County, which proves my point. They actually don't want to spend time going to programs if they have the alternative for more recreation and more downtime. And I want people to go walk out of here with more tools in their toolbox than what they had when they came in, so they're better prepared to succeed.
Tim White, what's your view of this?
As a reporter, I've been in and out of a lot of prisons and jails. And look, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a sheriff, but it is very clear when you walk around there, and I was just in your jail about 3 months ago doing a story, there's a lot of people in there with very serious mental health issues. And to your approach, I know the old saying, and we hear it a lot when we file a story about someone who gets sentenced is, well, if you do the crime, you got to do the time. I'm not so sure for a certain percentage of the population that's in your jail that sort of cause and effect resonates with them. And you can't help but think for a percentage, you look at someone that's in there, boy, it really feels like that person needs a hospital and not a jail cell. And I think that's a growing problem. Again, not just one that you're facing, but jails and prisons across the country.
Well, and certainly in Massachusetts, you raise a great point. When the former Governor Dukakis started closing the mental health hospitals, they started pushing people into our prisons who frankly didn't belong there. When we have to put somebody in solitary confinement who has mental health issues, that's the last place we want to put them. But the problem is, if we don't, in certain circumstances, they're going there because they're either going to hurt themselves, they're going to hurt another inmate, or they're going to hurt one of my staff. And that's only in those extreme cases where somebody's really acting out. But even then, we have a strict mental health program where they're monitored by our medical staff and our mental health teams. So we're looking for these things and training our officers. If somebody seems to be having mental health issues, you need to get a hold of the mental health people in our department. Our vendor, who is there, the doctor, is a mental health specialist.
Well, how does this apply in the sense that when you look at statistics, suicide rates actually are higher in your prison than the state at large? Are you doing right by these people by not taking care of them the way you should if the rates are high?
Well, you can't base the rate. The number that happened in our prison is not based on our ability to successfully work with the mental health people. As I said, the doctor who owns this medical vendor, he's been studying suicides. That's his specialty. That has no bearing on it. We're following the national trend if you look at the numbers of people committing suicide on the outside. It's no different. And that's typically, as he's told us, what you will see over the course of time. But more to the point is that I mentioned before we went on the air that we detox 2/3 more than any other facility in Massachusetts, any other correctional facility. So having said that, we're going to have higher risk people. But we also have a program where other agencies are sending their troubled people to us because we have such a good sort of monitoring program of people.
But what about recidivism? How does that play into this? In other words, if you're being successful, are you have lower rates of people coming back?
We don't have the statistics on that, nor does any other sheriff's department in Massachusetts, because they've never been able to develop a system-wide database that we can feed into. We're in the process of that now, and we expect that all the county sheriffs will have that ability, I think, by the end of 2018. We'll probably be online before that, but they're trying to get all 14 sheriffs online by the end of 2018. then we'll be able to give some real numbers.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Sheriff Hodgson, as a Republican in the blue state of Massachusetts, you're one of the more prominent Bay State supporters of President Trump. President Trump supporters point to how the Dow is record high. He's been elevating a lot more conservative judges, most notably Neil Gorsuch, to the U.S. Supreme Court, and undoing executive orders put forward by President Obama. But there are people who think that President Trump has demeaned the office of the presidency. Just this week, he was called out by British Prime Minister Theresa May and embraced by white supremacist David Duke for some of his tweets about Muslims. Is that trade-off worth it, as in your view, as a supporter of President Trump?
Well, I think we're in a pretty a society that's pretty focused on being critical of this president from day one. He won the election. I think one of the things that was most notable to me was even when he had this sort of unorthodox style during the campaign, I remember him making a comment about Senator McCain, and I thought to myself, ooh, that might be a problem going forward to win this election. But what I started to notice was that his crowds were getting bigger and bigger. And I wasn't surprised in the end when he won that election. So
sure. But to come back to my question, you're a Trump supporter. Are you okay with the excesses of his presidency if that means he's going to put forward and have at least a little bit of success with promoting more conservative values?
Look, I may not certainly present things exactly the same way. Most of us are different in the way we approach things. But I do think that this president is making a lot of progress. What we're seeing, though, is we're seeing the media constantly trying to focus and distract away from these things. And I've even gotten to a point where I believe it's intentional so that the Democrats can say, hey, listen, pay attention to this thing over here. Don't look over there because we don't want you to really know that the stock market's up.
I would say that some people would argue that he does the exact same thing in the sense that he tweets outrageous things to sort of distract from some of the things that he hasn't gotten done. But I will say that, like Massachusetts, Rhode Island has a strong support base for Donald Trump. He did better here at the presidential election than he did in Massachusetts. And to that regard, I think there's a sizable number of the portion of Rhode Islanders who, in fact, support what he's doing. Not the demeanant, notwithstanding, that he's implementing policies that a lot of people in this state voted for.
Yeah, well, it's not just Rhode Island. Let's look at your county. I mean, Bristol County, Massachusetts, did well for Donald Trump, particularly in the primary and even in the general election. And historically, I think I have this right, the only GOP House Speaker up until Bill Clinton was actually a guy from Attleboro, a Republican from Attleboro, Joe Martin or something like that. So while we think, as Massachusetts, as the question was framed from Ian, as a blue state, I don't know that that necessarily applies to your county as much. That is a very, as we're learning, a very conservative area.
Well, part of it is, but I have the biggest Democrat enclave in Massachusetts. And so what I think it does say, Tim, is
there's a difference between the party that they choose and who the person is who they vote for, though, right? A lot of people say they're Democrats, but when push comes to shove, we saw a lot of Democrats have voted for Donald Trump, particularly in your area.
Yeah, but I'm saying overall, the Democrats have always sort of dominated that area in regards to political successes in the local elections and state elections. I think it speaks to the fact that, yes, these people may have more conservative values, but they believe that always the only way you get elected in Massachusetts is if you're a Democrat, going back for generations.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI-TV, Tim White.
Thanks, Ian.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the Sheriff of Bristol County, Massachusetts, Thomas Hodgson.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And you can find a lot more information on our website at ripr.org.